Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
Scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 9. I'll be reading verses 38 through 41. Mark 9, 38 through 41. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. But he who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward."
All right, good to see everyone. My Bible's open to Mark chapter 14. You've opened to Mark chapter 14. Open your Bible there. We're going to go to Mark 14 a little bit this morning, study from God's Word. We've got folks visiting with us this morning. Again, we're glad you're here. Mighty glad you're here. Mighty glad for the presence of each and every one that is here. Let's pay careful attention to God's Word this morning. Close attention. This is the time that we reverence God by paying attention. And solemnly listening to God's Word being preached and taught, making application in our lives, making changes to our lives. Mark chapter 14. Let's begin verse 3. While he was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignant, remarking to one another, why was it wasted? For this perfume may have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She's done a good deed for me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could, and she has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her." You've been on vacation or just riding around in the country and you're running around and you go by this little cafe and outside it says world famous country fried stuff. Don't many ever see that? Or you're somewhere and you see this sign, Mad's House of Hair, world famous haircut. Yeah, and you think, you know, I don't know about that. You know, I picture myself. I'm in South America in the rainforest. I'm going down a path, and here comes a Congo guy, and he says, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from America." And he says, "You ever had your hair done in Mad's House of Hair? You know, you got world famous haircut there." It just seems like that's a little too much, doesn't it? It just does, you know. But we think that way, and I get that sometimes in small towns or places there might be a guy that's world famous that does something world famous, or that maybe only something can be done in a small town or an area that's world famous. We understand that. But you pull into a service station, you pull into a filling station that's a full service station, and you see the sign. The service here is world famous. You know, it's not Benson County, Benson City. No, it's world famous. But I think all of that reflects our desires. I think it reflects our desire to do something big and to do something ginormous, to do something really like what Mark 14 here is saying. To do something that wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, hey, the whole world knows about this woman. I just read about her 2,000 years ago. Here it is, and I mean, that's it. Commended personally by Christ. Your name, what you did, written forever in scripture for all time. Somebody start talking about the kingdom of God. Start talking about the kingdom, what you're doing in the kingdom. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to make. I want to do something giant. I want to do something enormous. I want to do something that everybody remembers. I mean, when it comes to kingdom work, that's what we're all about. And I think it's especially true in the society that we live in today. I mean, if you don't have a live feed on the news at 7 and 11, and if it's not trending on Twitter, and if it's not all over Facebook, and everybody's talking about it, well, then you think, well, what good is it anyway? You know, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Especially, I think we live in a world that worships at the altar of bigger is better. So I look at this. And I think Mary here, she got it right. And especially in a culture where everybody thinks that big and exciting, that's it. And I'm looking at it, I think, that's it. I want to do something big for the kingdom of God. That's where I'm at right there. Now, it's pretty hard for me to say not to do something big for the kingdom of God. But if that's your attitude, I'm afraid that maybe it might do you some harm if that's your only attitude. And not only will it harm your service to God, but I believe that it also might harm the disciples that work in the kingdom with you. It's not wrong to want to do something great in the kingdom of God. That's not wrong. But contrary to, I think, what a lot of people suggest about working in the kingdom, you know, working in the kingdom, it's not big. It's not trendy. It's not radical. Really, being a Christian and working in the kingdom of God, folks, it's pretty generic, pretty vanilla, pretty plain Jane. We're just ordinary people going through the ordinary ho-hum drum of life, living the life that we live. And that really well explains being a disciple, which means if we're dreaming or we're thinking about doing great things in the kingdom of God, maybe you're waiting on something that's never going to happen. And maybe you're really just kind of dreaming your life away. And I look at this, Mary did an enormous thing here. But if you look at the text, really I'll say the word synchronization came there. I mean, she was the right place at the right time. She had the right stuff. Jesus was there. The enemies said the right thing at the right time, condemned her. The Lord commended her. So you think about the Lord's life and the Gospels and all through that. She had thousands of occasions like this. Thousands. But this is the only one that made the news. This is the only one that went in. And maybe that ought to tell us something. Maybe that ought to tell us about something big. Doing something big. The hard truth is, nobody in here is going to be famous. Nobody. The hard truth is that probably none of us are going to do anything big or have a chance to do something big. Now, I want to suggest to you this morning something a little different. I want to suggest to you what Jesus wants to see. And it's not headline, and it's not going viral. And I want us to think about what we really need to do is the things that really Christ has called us to do. And what Christ has called us to do is act of kindness, act of service, act of generosity, that we all can do. I want you to think about that. One writer said this, we can feel like if we don't do something great for God, why not? God says here is, do small things for me. I like that. And I like what's written here. Do small things for me. Well, think about that. Mark chapter 12. And I want us to think about doing small things in the kingdom of God. And as we're thinking about that, I want to notice, I want to recognize three things that I picked up here in this text. And I know that we're doing it. And I want you to know them, and I want you to quit doing them. I guess that's the point of the lesson. As we read this, these are things that I think that we need to stop believing. And we just need to quit thinking this way. So let's look at Mark chapter 12. Let's look at verse 41. He says, Mark 12, verse 12, I get there, 41. He says this. And he sat down opposite the treasury, he's talking about Jesus, and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a penny. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributions to the treasury. For they all put out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she owned, and he says all that she lived on. All that she owned, all that she lived on, do something small in the kingdom. Now, to be like this widow, we need to make certain We need to make certain that we're not comparing ourselves to other people. Stop comparing yourself to other people. There's a lesson there in that. Look at verse 41. Look at it. Last one. Many rich people were putting in large sums. Now, in the temple, there was a series of collecting boxes. When you went there to worship and you took money there, what you did, you approached the box that fitted what you needed to give money to. Whether it be a sin box, a sin offering, you could do that. There's a Thanksgiving offering, you could do that. And people did that. As you went down the line, the row of those boxes, you came to the 13th box. What the 13th box was a free will offering box. There's no obligation there. You just, out of the goodness of your heart, you weren't obligated to do it, but you wanted to give more to the Lord or something to the Lord, and so you went to the free will offering box. All the other stuff was taken care of. All your obligations were taken care of. But still yet, God gave you the opportunity to even give, so I'm going to give. So, and can you imagine seeing some rich guy come down the row of boxes there, and box after box, he's putting money in that, and putting money in that, putting money in that box, and you're seeing all of that, and you go, and he gets to the last free will box, and you go, wait, you don't have to put anything in there. Man, you put all kinds of stuff. You already got, you know, that's a free will offering box. Then he pulls out another pack and just pours that in. Man, we'd be impressed, wouldn't we? We'd really be impressed for that guy. One scholar said this, and I like it, talking about the huge Passover crowds that would come to the temple during the Passover, and these were fitted so that the public could see all that going on. He says this, it all combined to create outrageous, preening, and prancing. Can you imagine the hush that came over the crowd when a notable person approached the boxes and perhaps had a sack so heavy of shekels that he could barely carry it himself, and the sound of those things hitting that box, and then turning around looking over his shoulders and, hey, beat that, will you? Huh? Talk that. Easy to be impressed by that, isn't it? It is. It's easy to be impressed by a big donation. Somebody does something really big in the kingdom of God. Now, maybe we should say something about the risk involved in that when we think about that, or having a lot of ability. Sometimes, and like it was done here, sometimes the kingdom of God can be used as a stage. Sometimes the kingdom of God can be used as a platform where we're going to stand and we're going to exalt ourselves and say, look at me. Because that's what was done here. If you do that kind of thing, I want to tell you something, it'll work. It'll work. If you do that, it works. Because people will be impressed by you. They'll clap you on the back and they'll take your hand up and down and say, you're just simply amazing. It's amazing what you've done. However, if you think about it, the net result, though, that will not please God. That false righteousness in the kingdom of God does not please God. In fact, sometimes it hurts the kingdom of God, because I'll tell you what, people that can't do that, ordinary folks that can't do that, you know what they do? Well, why do anything at all? Why should I do anything at all? I'll never be able to master that. Isn't that what happened? If I can't, I can't. There's no way that I can come up to that level. And so my little bit really don't count. What I've got to do, what I've got to say, my part, my small part, it really doesn't matter. And so because you think that, it doesn't get done. Your part, whatever that might be, is left undone, and then we just end up applauding the big deeds of others. It's almost like your deeds, they don't count. They don't have meaning. They're just meaningless. And so you end up, because you start thinking that way, guess what you do? Nothing! Hold the place in Mark. Turn over to Numbers chapter 13. We'll come back to Mark. But I want you to look at how they look at themselves after they learned of the giant people in Canaan. Remember what they said out there? Let's look at verse 31. Numbers 13, verse 31. He said, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are strong. All right? So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone and spying out, a land that devours its inhabitants and its people whom we saw, they're men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, part of Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now, notice we seem to ourselves. When we compared ourselves to others, when they compared themselves to others, what happened? They felt inadequate. They felt incapable. In fact, what they did, they lost their trust in God. Now listen, we need to take our eyes off of others. All of us need to take our eyes off of others because that's not going to help you. That's not going to help us. That's not going to help those. And it's certainly not going to help the work of God when you're constantly looking at others. If somebody's doing something great in the kingdom of God, God bless them. We need that. God bless those that do that. We're really glad about that. But that doesn't have anything to do with me. And that doesn't have anything to do with you. And that doesn't have anything to do with your responsibility of what you need to be doing in the kingdom of God. In fact, when you look at the text, turn back to Mark 14. Notice what's going on. Notice something about that. What did Jesus say? Verse 8. She has done what she can do. Verse 8. She has done what she can do. That's the key. Do what you can do. She has done what she can do. What we've forgotten about, I think, is that Christianity just is not for those that are blessed with unusual amounts of talent, those that are blessed with instant financial resources, huge income, all right? We've forgotten about that. Christianity is not just for the influencers, the rainmakers of the world. No, no. In fact, Jesus, I don't think, really spent a lot of time with the upper echelon in his life. No, those 12 apostles, what were they? Tax collectors, fishermen. They didn't go to the finest seminaries. They weren't rainmakers. They weren't shakers and movers. But what they do, they did what they could. That's the point of that. By the way, that's just not something that you find in the New Testament. Notice, the Old Testament, when did God call Moses? When did God call Moses? What, when he was in the castle? Was it when he was with Pharaoh? Oh, let's get all taken down. No. It's after 40 years of being a shepherd. Same way with David. When did God call David? Youngest. He's out tending sheep. It's when God called the man after his own heart. Serving Christ, really. It's for everyone. And it's for everyone who can do what they can do. It's for regular folks, ordinary people, and everyday walk of life that recognize that we have an obligation to do that, to do what we can do. Quit looking at others what they are doing. It stifles what you do. It minimizes what you do, and you change your mind about what you should do. It benefits the kingdom in no way. Do what you can do. But that'll never happen as long as we always are saying that small things don't matter. Look again. Turn back to Mark, or Mark 12, the woman. What she did in verse 12, she put in two small copper coins. Mark 12, 42, she put in two small copper coins. Now, that's a penny. Now, that penny is our term. Actually, the term is the term is left on. And it evidently, what it means is it's the smallest. It's the absolute smallest coin possible. And you know how that is. You walk along and you see a penny on the road. A lot of you don't even know to pick it up. I do. I think it's a matter of integrity and honor. I'll tell you that story sometime. It doesn't matter. I will always bend over and pick up a penny. You may disagree with that, but it doesn't matter. But the left palm is just a fragment. Some scholars place the value at 1/64th of a day's wage. Some even place it less than that. Some say it's 1/44th of a day's wage. Now, I did a little bit of math, which is scary, but I did some math and took the minimum wage and different things, and I came up with 40 cents. And 40 cents really seems a little high to me with what the widow put in, but 40 cents, somewhere 35, 40 cents. Now, the word, again, left on comes from a group of words where we get our word leave. And the purpose of that is it's so thin. The coin is so thin. But how important is that? Think about that. Think about the donation. She didn't make any kind of it. What she did here was a small thing, very small thing. And really that was just a problem when you're preaching about her because, you know, somebody's out there thinking, okay, yeah, right, preacher man, 40 cents, yeah, I've got to give him a 40 cents. Your husband's about 40 cents. and it's going to make a big difference. I mean, 40 cents, think about what the annual budget for the temple was. How many millions of shekels went through that place every year? And you just can't figure the priest coming out one day in the spring and saying, well, we're going to have to shut them down, boys. Nobody gave you two left songs this week. No. Nobody figures that's going to happen, all right? We recognize that. That's not going to happen. So what you gave, you're thinking it's not significant. It really doesn't matter. And so what's the point in giving? We have become masters in judging the effectiveness of small things that we can do. In fact, we've already judged a lot of it. So we don't need to do small things. That it's not necessary. And so because of that, we don't even do them. Think about a couple of things here. Maybe we wouldn't decide that small things don't matter if we thought about what small things do. You know what? Sometimes a small thing is really what's needed. And I go back to what Mickey read in Mark 9 there. What is that? Cup of water. Cup of water. You think about a cup of water. Sometimes that's what's needed. Not some giant foundation to be established. Not some big, huge, mega donation. Not some plaque that needs to be made on a building. Just a cup of water. It's what's needed. Sometimes. Sometimes we need a cup of water. We don't need a swimming pool, tanker truck. And sometimes, a cup of water is exactly what the situation calls for. Think about that. If one of our men get up in front of you, and you can tell they prepared for that public showing in front of this audience to do something in a public way for the Lord. They thought about the occasion. They dressed for the occasion. You can tell it's important for them. They presented it in a way that you can tell they worked on it. Yeah, we do. We need to rent a blimp and say, great job. No. All we need to do is shake their hand and say, you know what? I really appreciate the job you did up there today. That's a cup of water. Think about that. In Bible class, the teacher comes up to you and says, you know what? I want to thank you. Your kid was really good this morning in class. Listened well, paid attention, was engaged. Really enjoyed having him in class. Hey, I'm going to buy him a new car. No. Get in the car and you say, hey, Bible teacher said you did a good job. Paid attention. Was quiet. Wanted to learn. And it's important that you do that. I want to thank you for doing that. What is that? That's a cup of cold water. That's what that is. If your neighbor asks you about Christianity, your neighbor doesn't expect you to download everything you know about the Bible and all that. No. Just, hey, come to church. Come to church with me and learn about that. I'd be glad to take you. That's a cup of water. Get a splinter in your finger. I don't expect you to call O.R. and fly the most greatest physician in to do that. No. Y'all care to please? Huh? Sometimes a situation just calls for a cup of cold water. Now, sometimes we need something really big. Sure we do. But a whole lot of life just calls for a cup of cold water. If I'm lonely, if I'm depressed, you know, I need you to say, I'm here. I need you to say, I'm going to pray for you. Whatever I can do, you let me know. You know what that is? That's a cup of cold water. I don't need you to buy me a library of self-help books. No, that's not it. And, you know, the other thing I can say about that is, you know, you don't want to discount small things. And one of the reasons is because they add up. Has anybody ever heard the name Alex Toad? Nope. You'll never forget Alex Toad. Alex Toad was a student in England, and Alex Toad needed money to go to a university in England. He didn't have any money. So Alex Toad got a web page, and he sold pistols on his web page. Advertisement, companies, people, however they want to do it. Here's a dollar, big deal, whatever, buck, here you have a buck. Sometimes he's bought, you can buy a block of 10, 100, all that. Alex Toad's web page was 1,000 by 1,000. Alex Poe got $1 million to go to a university in England. But it all added up. That's the point. A dollar here, a dollar there. They accumulated. Isn't that how weather works? One raindrop, two raindrops. You get a bunch of raindrops, what happens? Flood. Flood happens. So those things add up. I'll tell you that in the Bible. Turn to Exodus 35. Exodus 35. You know, the temple was considered one of the most elaborate buildings that was ever built. The inside was inlaid with gold. Not one Israelite came up and said, "Hey, boys, go to the house. I've got this. I'd like to check for this. It's no big deal. All right, I said you can go home." I want you to notice what he said. Verse 21. "Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all his service and all for the holy garments." Interesting, isn't it? And really, when you compare that to the widow, what she did, once again, here's people, what to say? People's hearts stirred them. To do what? Not to say, "You know what I got don't matter. What I give don't matter. They don't use it anyway." No. No. Their heart stirred them, and they knew that whatever they gave, whatever they did, it counted. It did matter. We need to quit thinking that way. That what we do don't matter. When you start thinking about it, your act of kindness, your compliment, your encouragement, what you give, all of those things, they add up. And with everybody else's compliment, everybody else's encouragement, everybody else, what they're doing, it counts, it accumulates, it adds up. So the woman, when you look, you know, you think about that. The woman, the widow, what she did. You know, think about the mom that spends 5 minutes with her squirming kid every day reading the Bible. You know what happens with that? 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. She looks at one day and she's got an adult son or young lady that loves the Word of God. That's what that adds up. That counts. And you know, your invitation to come to church, you know, that doesn't mean anything. So I'm not going to say it. I never asked anybody to come to church. I can take a poll. How many of you asked somebody to come to church this morning? This week? Be honest. How many of you asked somebody to come to service today? Now, if all of us began to do that because we wanted folks here to hear the gospel, you think that add up? That little comment, maybe, with you asking, hey, how about a Bible study? Hey, how about sitting down here watching, listen to this sermon that we've got on the webpage? Hey, what day, what moment will that break through for the person that you're concerned about, and they say, "I'm going to go to church with you"? See how that adds up? You see how all those little things add up? It's easy to say my 40 cents won't make a difference. It's easy. But if nobody gave their 40 cents, what happens? Absolutely nothing. If it never rains, what happens? Absolutely nothing. We're just really good at all the sides. That our little bit don't matter. I see it. I think a lot of us have decided that. Sometimes that's because we don't want it to matter. Because if it did matter, then we'd have to do something. Well, our little bit indeed does matter. Cup of water matters. Sometimes the situation demands that. We need to remember that. The widow knew. The widow knew that her 2 leptons was not going to make the budget of the temple for the fiscal year, but her money, somebody else's 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 money, that took care of the temple. That was the idea. And all of those donations came together to do something meaningful. But what's really important, go back to Mark 12. In the small things, I want you to notice that the Lord takes notes. That's really what matters most here. All these people were giving, that's verse 41. Most people, it says, put in large sums. The key phrase I want you to look at, though, is verse 43, Mark 12, 43. Jesus called his disciples to him. Jesus called. God noticed small things. Now, I'm certain that the disciples, they just knew that the Lord was going to look at these guys. They're calling out to impress with all these guys who poured all this money into the bucket. No, Jesus says you're looking at the wrong thing. Jesus says you're observing the wrong thing. What? God sees differently. God sees the heart. Nobody gave a notice to the widow. Nobody gave notice to what, especially what she was putting in. But God sees the inside. And with all this, I want to tell you something. God's mask is totally different than our mask. Do you see the difference? God sees the heart. So big things in this illustration, done out of excess, does not compare with a small thing done out of your want. That's the lesson. The person that follows God wholeheartedly, the person that serves gladly, the person that does acts of kindness and grace and mercy, however small those acts are, the person that does that now, in this time, God sees it. God honors that. Matthew 25. I want you to notice something about the judgment day. Talk about the judgment day. This isn't about somebody gave $1 million. This isn't about somebody that converted 2 billion people. I want you to notice something. Beginning verse 31, this is the judgment scene. For when the Son of Man comes in His glory and the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right hand, the goats on His left. The King will say to those on His right, come, you are blessed, my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. All of those things on the judgment day are small things. Everything that you just seen and read, small things. Notice, righteous judge says what he says in verse 37, countering what they ask. Look at verse 40. He says, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Small things matter in the kingdom of God. You can do this, I can do this. As soon as we realize what Jesus is teaching here, as well as with the widow, when you look at that God sees everything that we do, no matter how small it is. And all of those things, they count in God's eyes. What's the application? What's the take home? What do you think? We need to serve. We do. We need to act. We need to do. We need to stop trying to find something to do that we can hang a sign on that says world famous. We need to stop that. Do what's right before you. Do what you're able to do. Do what God wants you to do. I think there's a lesson there. If you're a kid in this room, I want you to think something, kid. What could you do that would make your parents' life easier? I know your parents can think something about that. Maybe even just a thank you every once in a while would probably make them pass out. But think about that. If you're a teenager, think about it. You know, I know there comes a time in a teenager's life that a lot of adults don't ever get over, but you know, teenagers are the most self-absorbed animal of all time. And what happens is that, you know what, during your teenage years, you just take them here, take them there, and really they get this idea that life is totally about them. You know what I mean? Look at me, selfie, duckless, you know, everything's about them. And you know what? What we've done here, we've got cool Kyle here, he's back there doing some things with him. And the church has addressed that, and we recognize the need for that. We want them to be ready when they leave here to face the world. So we're putting in time and money for that. Kyle's doing a good job with that. We recognize the responsibility in that as a church. But you know what? Sometimes it might give them the idea of, what you got now for me? Do something. Huh? Wrong attitude. That's not what the kingdom of God's about. Maybe you need to think about that. What can you do at school for somebody? Just a small act of kindness. What can you do at work? All of them. And you know, as an adult, even senior adult, I heard a story this week where there was a couple that went to an elderly folks, an older folks, he was dying. And for the last month of his life, every single day, they went to his house and read the Bible to him every day. And that meant so much to him, so much to his family. But you know what? I didn't make the news. I didn't make the headline. Nobody knew anything about it. In fact, I was surprised I found out about it. But I'll think about that. Who could I visit this week? Who could I read the Bible to this week? Who could I take a meal to this week? Who could I send a card to this week? Who could I visit this week? You know, we got a board back there full of missionaries. You know, we'd like to catch out of the treasure that you give to the Lord, the furthest gospel all around this world. You know that nobody in this room looks at that bulletin board and takes the name down and sends in a card? Just think about that. Do you know the names of the people that we support the gospel with? Do you know how much it means if they got a card or a letter from you that said, I appreciate you and appreciate the sacrifice you're making? Do you know what that means? You ever thought about doing that? What is that? That's a small thing. But you can do anything. I think we need to begin to think that way. I think we need to begin to quit thinking about huge and normal things, and that is the only thing that counts. Folks, it's a small thing that we can do that add up, that does great things for the kingdom of God. Let's get out the songbook. And really, if you're doing that, what small things can we do for the kingdom of God? I want you to stop comparing yourself to others. I want you to quit doing that, quit thinking that way. If we remember that God sees every act of service and every act of kindness, what's that song? Each day I'll do what? I'll tell you what, I don't know how we're going to stop from doing a golden deed every day. God recognizes, God sees. The gospel is this: he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Love to say it, love to preach it, love to teach it, because I know that it saves the soul from damnation and hell through eternity. Please come. That's together we stand and sing.